All right, this morning, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the, well, I think we'll pick up in the 11th chapter. Actually, we've gone on into the 12th chapter. We backed up a little bit. But one thing that I'd like to make very clear, because this isn't commonly understood. And when I mean commonly understood, under the canopy of Christianity, most of the churches are as deceived as much as Israel was deceived in their relationship with God. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, they read the Gospels, and we're reading about the public ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels. And the public ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ was, number one, to establish the guilt of Israel so that Israel would see that they needed a Savior. Now, if we go back, we find that after Adam and Eve sinned, and there was one law at that point in time, not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? Eve was deceived by the serpent, and she ate of it. And after she ate of it, she gave also to her husband, and he did eat. Now, the scripture is very clear about this. Eve was deceived. And then it tells us very clearly, Adam was not deceived. So, Adam really cast himself upon the grace of God. He realized that, you know, that God is a loving, holy, and just God, and that God would make a provision. So when God clothed them, then they clothed themselves. They realized they'd been naked from the day that they'd been created, but then they realized we're naked. You know, they weren't conscious of any problem with nakedness until they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, what is a knowledge of good and evil? People, they rarely ask that question. But what is it? It's man's morality. And the world has some 4,000 different moral systems. Well, lots in them are the same, but there's always a few differences. So that it adds up to a great big total of 4,000. Yeah. 4,000 different ways, as far as man is concerned, to get to God. But is that true? No, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and what? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The scripture teaches us, we've all sinned. You know, now that's singular. What was that sin? When Adam sinned, you sinned. Now you say, that's not fair. I didn't do it. No. But if that's not fair, then you can't be saved. Because if God can charge you with Adam's sin, he can also charge you with Christ's righteousness. So God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to do what? To redeem them that were under the law. What is redeem? In times past, if you were a slave, and each one of us are slaves to sin, and you would stand in the marketplace naked, because if you're going to buy a servant, you want to see what you're buying, okay? And so you would stand naked in the slave market, and then if someone would buy you to be their servant. And isn't it interesting? We've had a whole lot of fuss over the fact that we had slavery in this country. The fact of the matter is, from the beginning of time, we've had slavery. People that couldn't pay their bills would indenture themselves to the ones that they owed and serve them to pay off their debt. When you max out your credit cards, aren't you enslaved? You spend money that you don't have, and how am I going to pay for all of this? It's crazy. They just sold the house across from me. It's much smaller than my house, only 1,200 square feet with a single-car garage. After we remodeled, we have closer to about 2,400 square feet with a double-car garage and a much bigger lot. I paid for my house when we bought it back in, we started buying it back in 1965, I think it was. And at that point in time, my monthly payment was, if I remember correctly, I think it was, and some change, $168 a month, okay? And with $168, I paid the property tax, I paid the interest on the loan, and I paid towards the principal for $168 a month. Now when I get my tax statement and, comes out latter part of October, first part of November, you have to pay your property tax. Now I pay more just for property tax on my house than I used to pay paying the thing off. Quite a bit more. And when they sold that house, Debbie's upstairs, I think that little 1,200 square foot house, they sold it for $420,000. $420,000 for a 1,200 square foot house. They went in and painted the outside, they painted the inside, put a new lawn in with a sprinkling system, and sold it for $420,000. At that rate, mine ought to be worth about a $500,000. But I paid. If I would have bought it without sidewalks, it was $16,900. And with sidewalks, it was $17,500. And in this period of time, I was a young man when I started paying on it, and we paid it off. And of course, now I'm an old man. But, $420,000 for that little bitty house across the street. It's amazing. And if inflation doesn't help anyone, But let's get back to the scriptures. All right. Now, when Jesus was dealing with the Jews, when they were in Egypt, God judged the 12 false gods of Egypt, and the last false god that he judged was the firstborn. And they would worship the firstborn as God, and of course, Pharaoh was supposed to, as the firstborn would become the next Pharaoh, Pharaoh was worshipped as God. Okay? So God judged the false gods of Egypt, and the last judgment came upon the firstborn. And God told the nation of Israel, take a lamb on the 10th day of the month, and the Jews operated on a lunar calendar. So we operate on a calendar based upon the sun and so forth. And we have to change the number of days in a month so that the way to remember whether it's got 31 or 30 days, except for, March? Or is it February? February. Yeah, okay. With your knuckles, you start January, February, March, or January, February, March, April, May, June, July, and then August, September, October. So every time you go down, it's got 30 days. And every time you go up, It's got 31 days. You'll never forget how many days. Just use your knuckles. Okay. I don't know why I threw that in. But the point is, the Jews operated on a lunar calendar. And the Jewish month, the first day of the month was supposed to be, or the first month of the year, a year was supposed to be Abib. Okay. We read about Abib. That is the Passover. That's when the Jews came out of Egypt by the blood of the Passover lamb. And over time, the Jews have reversed it. And now that they take their seventh month, and I've forgotten the name of it, but now their seventh month is the first month of the year. Yeah, they're completely out of sync. Now, if you think about it, they will come back to the month of Abib being the first month of the year. And the reason is, when does our life, or when does our year really begin? Well, you take the lamb on the 10th day of the month, first month of the year, and you examine it until the 14th day of the month. That would be at the full moon. And then you kill it in the afternoon, and then you roast it with fire, and you have to be dressed, ready to leave Egypt. See, Egypt is a type of the world. So when is the first month of the year for us? When we come to salvation in Jesus Christ. And that's what is portrayed. And the Jews were all out of sync. They rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they were given the law. And because of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the lie of the devil, man naturally thinks, I'm good enough for heaven. Yeah. No matter what he does. But somehow or other, the good that I do is going to outweigh the bad that I do. It's not true, but that's the way man thinks. So, in the month of Abib, you know, our life really doesn't begin until we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. Yeah. I trusted Christ as my Savior when I was 21. Eric trusted Christ as his Savior when he was 21. The difference was he was in church from the time, I don't know when his mother started bringing him, and he'd come with his grandmother from time to time.
About 10.
You were 10?
About 10, yeah.
Yeah. So he's 11 years in the church. He thinks he's a Christian because he goes to church on Sunday. Yeah. And I'm not picking on him at all. That's the way the world thinks. You know, you go to church and you try to be as good as you can be. You know. And every man thinks that however he lives his life, I'm good enough. But the law which was given to Moses in the book of Exodus, and we see it enumerated in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, the Jews fought battles as they went into the land, and we have the numbering of the tribes in the book of Numbers. But the whole world is deceived into thinking that all I have to do is live my life, and when I die, I go to heaven. They say, well, God's a loving God, or they put it this way. A lot of people don't believe in God at all, but if there's a God, I'm good enough. No, it isn't so. The scripture, and this is why God gave the nation of Israel the law. The law was what? A schoolmaster. The Greek word is an attendant slave, a pedagogos. Okay? The law is a schoolmaster to do what? To bring us to Christ. Well, how does it bring us to Christ? Well, Christ is our Savior. So if we need a Savior, we need somebody to step in and take our place. So the Jews think that they were kept by the law. No, all the law could do for the Jew or for you, you know, is all you have to do is read just the 20th chapter of Exodus, and that's just the Ten Commandments. But the law, there are many, 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 many laws besides the Ten Commandments. And, for example, on Saturday, during the Sabbath, they had to come from wherever they dwelt in the camp into the tabernacle. And if you think Eric and I preach a little bit long from time to time, they had to stand there all day and listen to the reading of the law all day long. And basically, all the law could tell them is you're condemned. Well, we need the law to establish the fact that we're condemned. But what happens in the day in which we live? We see within the churches, we say, well, Jesus was born into this world to show us how to live, when we look at the things that he said to the Jews, he wasn't teaching the Jews how to live. He was showing them how they couldn't live. Okay? Now, one verse of Scripture in the fifth chapter of Matthew establishes it. Okay. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So, in order to get to heaven by the life that you live, you just have to be perfect. Would any of us dare suggest that we're perfect? Well, there are some people that might. But no, the law demands perfection. Now, God, through the incarnation by means of the virgin birth, became a man in Jesus Christ. And he lived his life as a Jew under the law, and he fulfilled. He's the only person who ever could keep the law. None of the apostles kept the law. None of the patriarchs kept the law. None of the prophets kept the law. Moses, who was given the law to take it to the nation of Israel, he couldn't keep it either. The law is a ministry of what?
Condemnation
and in death. Now, the reason I've been spending so much time with this is because people say, well, in fact, when I was in the Air Force, they make sure you have a New Testament. You know, and the Gideons give them to the Air Force. And they don't care whether you ever read it or not. There's a place in your footlocker that you have to put it. It has to be in a particular place in your footlocker. You can't just toss it in there. So you get a Gideon New Testament, and you can't read it with understanding unless you're saved. Yeah. And I've told the story about going home, a year after my dad's death. And he died at age 44, and I was home the next year. And during that period of time, my mother had mailed me, I think she did it for my birthday or something, a Scofield Bible. And, well, that's a nice Bible. I'll just set it over here. I wasn't saved. Yeah. But in January of 1951, we traveled home for... just a week's vacation, and we had to drive from Spokane, Washington. So it's about 1,500 miles from Spokane to where we lived. And at that time, Mom was still in Norwalk. We traveled that distance, and then you have to get back so you can go back to work the next day, next week. And so, long drive. Yeah. And Mom said, I think we arrived on Friday. And she said, I'm going to church tomorrow. This is how simple it is. You don't have to try to argue your family into the kingdom of God. And usually if they do, they say, well, I know you. I grew up with you. You're just as bad as I am. In fact, you're worse. Yeah. And so man always wants to involve his personal sense of goodness in his relationship with God. He got that idea from the devil. You know, what is a tree of the knowledge of good and evil? It's man's morality. You know, what man thinks is necessary for him to be right with God. Okay? And we don't realize that, you know, Eve was deceived into believing, well, Elohim, God, it's plural form of God, means Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, knows that in the day that you eat thereof, ye shall be like Elohim. You know, it's translated, God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, you shall be like the gods, plural in the second place, singular in the first place. It's plural both places. It speaks of the Godhead. God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, you shall be like God. So, every religious system in the world, and they were all formed from the lie of the devil, man's morality. Every religious system in the world provides that you can get into the presence of God by the life that you live. Is it true? No. No. The law condemns us. The law demands perfection. So when we come to the study of the scriptures, and we're in the book of Matthew, we're going to see Jesus dealing with Jews as a Jew under the law. And he's the only Jew, the only person who ever could keep the law and did keep the law, and he kept it perfectly. And he would show the Jews, you know, use the law. He would use it lawfully. What's the lawful use of the law? To show you that you're guilty. Now, what was given with the law besides the, you know, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that, was the sacrificial system. Now, the scripture teaches us that the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer can never take away sin. So why did God give the nation of Israel the law and the sacrificial system? The law showed that they were guilty, and the sacrificial system showed that they had to make an atonement or a covering for their sin. Now, the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of sheep and so forth can never take away sin. But it was a... it's kind of like... before you can read, you read, you have picture books, and the pictures tell the story. Okay? So the law tells the story to the nation of Israel. And if you fail before the law, you need an appropriate sacrifice. And every sacrifice properly done represented Jesus Christ, who is God, who became a man, so that he could live his life. And what did John the Baptist refer to Jesus as? Behold the Lamb of God that does what? Taketh away the sin of the world. So, even though the Jews were under law, no one was saved by law, but the sacrificial system pointed them to the fact that they would need a Savior. And the animal sacrifices, when they came out of Egypt, on the Passover, over in the book of Corinthians, it says, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. So each animal sacrifice, and there were various days and various reasons, things that they were supposed to keep, but they fell into just the tradition of interpreting it according to a way which seemed right to a man. Does anybody want to be condemned before God? No. So God, he knows I can't be perfect, but what he really means by that, I need to be as good as I can be. No. When God says be perfect, that's what it takes. And so in the person of Jesus Christ, who is God incarnate, in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So the physical expression of God, God is a spirit. I have a spirit. I have a soul, you know, conscious part of me, and a spiritual part of me. Okay. But you can't see my spirit, and you can't see my soul. It's represented in my personality, what you see acted out in my body. Okay? So we know people by their outward manifestation, which is their body. But when we get to know them, we get to know a little bit about if I'm a Christian and they're a Christian, and we've both been regenerated and indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and we grow in the things of the Lord, and we can have fellowship together around the truth of the Word of God. See? Because His Spirit's alive and my Spirit's alive, but unsaved people, their Spirit's dead, died with Adam. Adam was told, the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. He didn't die physically that day. If I remember correctly, he lived, about 900 years, if I remember. Yeah, anyway, 930 years. He lived, and he had sons and daughters, and you know, we only read about three men that are named. We have Cain, we have Abel, and then Abel was slain by Cain, and then we have Seth. But then if you go a couple of chapters later in Genesis, and then we read about all of Adam's sons and daughters. Yeah. And you have to think about this. Cain went out and built a city. Well, if you look at the genealogy of Cain, you'll find that he didn't have that many kids to be able to actually build a city. So where did the city come from? Other relatives. You're going to have, think about it, see, over a period of time, and they lived a long time. So because they lived a long time, they could bear many children, and the children could marry there are many children, and they would intermarry. You have to marry somebody you're related to at that point in time. Today, we still marry somebody that we're related to, but it's far enough apart so that it doesn't cause birth defects. Yeah. Okay? So, we have one man from which all men came. And the first woman came from man. And then we have one man, as in Adam all die, second man, Christ. So in Christ, all are made alive. So one man plunged us into sin, the other man takes us out of sin. But as we read this book of Matthew, for example, in Matthew chapter 5, last verse in chapter 5, verse 48 says, now this is what the law requires. Be ye therefore perfect. How? Even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So, people read the Bible and they're trying to improve their lives so that they can go to heaven. But nobody's going to go to heaven by the life that they live. All that, if you think that way, you're thinking according to the lie that deceived Eve and the lie that brought death into the human family. The day you eat of it, ye shall surely die. Now, the patriarchs lived much longer than we live. I'm 90. I'm considered old. Yeah, I am. And my heart's been out of rhythm for a long time. And so, you'll probably hear me gasp for breath. Heart's rumbling away, trying to do the best job it can do. But no matter how deeply I breathe, because the heart isn't beating efficiently, there's not as much oxygen in my blood, and so consequently, I will, gasp like I trying to enunciate a word, trying to say it correctly. You'll maybe hear me gasp for more air. It's just part of life. I know could it be today, it could be tomorrow, or the Lord could take me with a trumpet. But I'm 90 years old. That's a long time. That's 20 years past the allotted time that God gives us. So, it's just part of who we are. But what I'm trying to get across is that people look at the public ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ and they try to emulate Jesus Christ. Now, emulating Jesus Christ won't do anything but send you to hell. Because you can't, even in emulation, you can't be what God required. Be therefore perfect. So, emulating Christ won't make you perfect. You have a sin nature. If you don't believe you have a sin nature, just remember some of the dreams that you've had. You didn't have a thing to do with it. In the middle of the night, you're dreaming about something that, you say, huh, where in the world did that thought come from? It came from your sin nature. And you can really have some really wild dreams. It's just, we have a sin nature. There is no conduct that you can perform or that I can perform that will make us accepted of God. What God wants from us is we're called the just. The just shall live by faith. And then over in the book of Galatians, it tells us very clearly, and the law is not of faith. So if you're going to be accepted of God, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So when we believe on him, his righteousness is counted to be our righteousness. So it's a judicial reckoning. It's like the blood of the lamb, the Passover lamb. The Jews had to sacrifice a lamb on the 14th day of the month, roast it with fire at the beginning of the 15th, which was at sunset. And then at the beginning of sunset, then they were there for a while, and then God led them out of the land of Egypt. And they finally got down to the tip of Sinai. Sinai is actually over in Arabia, but what's called Mount Sinai, they're still in Egypt. They left Egypt. And at the tip there, you have the western leg of the Red Sea and the eastern leg of the Red Sea. And they cross the eastern leg of the Red Sea into what we call Saudi Arabia today. Back then it was called Midian. And the bush that burned but wasn't consumed was in Midian. Moses was there as a shepherd for a long time, 40 years. And Mount Sinai is in Midian, and the cave where Enoch fled, I think it's Enoch. Enoch fled from Jezebel, is in Midian. But just because some scholar didn't know his geography from whatever, he called that peninsula Sinai. There's no mountain across. The Roman Catholics have built a St. Catherine's up there, great big monastery. But there's no mountain across from where the monastery is for Elijah. Who did I say before? I think it was Elijah who was in the cave. Anyway, there's no mountain across where Elijah had fled from Jezebel and where he was afraid, and he could look across and see the mountain of God. Nothing like that on the Sinai Peninsula. You find that over in Midian. And in Midian, there's a mountain that from the top down to about, at least 3,000 feet down, it's black, charred. If you break one of the rocks, You see, it was scorched on the outside from the fire that was on the mount when God was there. Don't find that in Sinai. You find that in Midian, which is in Saudi Arabia. Okay, so God gave the Jews the law. And what they should have said when it was given to them, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. That's what they said. They should have said, all that the Lord has spoken, we can't possibly do. But God had a purpose in giving the law to the Jews, because by our fallen nature, we think, you know, the average unsaved person thinks he can get to heaven by the life that he lived. I'm a good person. But you're not good enough. God demands perfection. The only way we can have perfection, it has to be imputed to us. So what Jesus was doing in these chapters in Matthew was interpreting the law to the Jews so that they would see themselves guilty and recognize they needed a Savior, which was portrayed in the sacrificial system. So in let's begin at verse 12, or chapter 12 and verse 1. In verse 20 is where we've been over that several times. If you end up raid the different cities in Israel, they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, but they couldn't. And so he points out their faults. And he says it would be more tolerable for the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, where, you know, that's where we get the word sodomy from. That, you know, it is the practice of men having sex with men and women having sex with women, you know. And in order to have families, well, I'll go and do that for my duty, but my real pleasure's in my bowl, you know. Terrible. I mean, contrary to human nature, really, but not contrary to a fallen nature. You know, human nature is God made Adam in the image of God, but that image fell to whatever seems right to me is right for me. And that's the way the world thinks. And that's why everybody thinks that all you have to do to go to heaven is die. When in reality, Jesus, who is God, became a man through the virgin birth. And we know that through the virgin birth, not one drop of the mother's blood is ever intermingled with the child's blood. All of the blood is there because of the genetic relationship of the father to the child. So, you know, in fact, in paternity suits, what do? They check the blood type of the father against the blood type of the child. Yeah. And there are certain combinations that can be produced only by certain other combinations. Okay. Chapter 12 and verse 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day. Now, the Sabbath day was a day that was supposed to be held holy. They weren't supposed to work. The Jews could travel from the outside of the camp to the inside of the camp, where they would stand there all day and listen to the law being read to them. And all the law could do was condemn them. So at that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungry, and hungered is the way it's translated, and began to pluck the ears of corn and eat. What they were doing, walking along and just catching the heads of the grains in their hands, rub them together, blow the chaff away, and eat the grain. Would you call that a harvest? Would you call that working? No, it's just eating. But the Jews said, they do that which is unlawful on the Sabbath. It'd be very easy not to walk through a grain field and take grain in your hand on the Sabbath day. That's something the Jews could do. Yeah. So that's the way they interpreted it. You are violating the Sabbath by working on the Sabbath. Yeah. And so they took the law and made it of none effect through their traditions. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, verse 2, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. No, they were just simply eating, which was lawful. But because the plants were still growing, they called it a harvest and called it working. Okay? So, your disciples are doing, they're working on the Sabbath. They're violating the Sabbath. So their interpretation gave them something that they could do so that in their mind they weren't condemned, but they were condemned as well. But he said unto them, have you not read what David did? This is back in 1 Samuel 21. Remember when David fled from Saul? He didn't have a sword with him. He didn't have any food with him. And he went to the temple or the tabernacle in the wilderness and went to the priest. And he said, we don't have anything here but holy bread, you know. But they just baked new and replaced it. So of the older bread, they gave it to David and those that were with him. And they ate of the showbread, which was placed out, you know, which represents the Lord Jesus Christ as the bread of life. And David and his men, and the priest just said, if the women have, or if the men have kept themselves from women, they can eat of it. See? So they weren't violating the law, though technically, you know, it was made only for the priest. And so, rather than going back to 1 Samuel 21 and reading it, I'll just tell you about it for now. How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, but it had already been replaced with the new baked bread. They would bake new bread and just keep replacing it on the altar. Okay? Which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them that were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days, the priest in the temple profaned the Sabbath, you know, and are blameless? That's back in Numbers 28. In other words, the priests were doing things which would be considered work in any other profession, in their ministry in the temple on the Sabbath day. But for them, it was ordained of God for them to do it, so it wasn't a violation of the Sabbath. And so, have you not read how that on the Sabbath days, the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? That is, they're doing what God allowed for the priest to do on the Sabbath day, but nobody else could do it on the Sabbath day. But I say unto you, that in this place is one greater than the temple. Who's greater than the temple? Jesus Christ, or the tabernacle in the wilderness, and later the temple, represents him. The sacrificial system, where animals were sacrificed, because without the shedding of blood is no remission. Let's read down to about verse 9, and then we'll quit there. Or have you not read in the law? Okay, we did that. Verse 6. But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy. Now, God gave the Jews the law. They said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So they placed themselves under a ministry of condemnation and of death. It was they themselves who did it. Okay? Not sacrifice, you would have condemned the guiltless, or not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of what? They were condemning the Lord Jesus Christ, which as the great high priest, as God, was perfectly lawful for him to do. But they did not recognize him to be the priest of God. They did not recognize him to be God incarnate. And so they found fault. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogues. And we'll pick up there next time. But what we're going to be looking at, and it really it's one theme all the way through, we're going to see Jesus ministering to Jews under the law. The Jews were required to operate according to the law, but could not because they were sinners. And then we will see Jesus do things that in the minds of the Jews, because of their interpretations, were unlawful, but completely lawful before God. Yeah. So that Christ is our great high priest, who not only he sacrificed himself, he put himself on the cross in the sense that the Romans could not have crucified him, the Jews could not have crucified him, you know, unless it was in his permissive will. And they nailed him to a cross. The cross is a sign of a curse. Breaking the law is a sign of a curse. So he bore your curse and mine on the cross. And the scripture is, whosoever looks shall live. If we look to the cross, rather than saying, looking at the law and saying, that's the way we have to live, we look to the cross and see Christ paying for the violations of the law and for all sin. And if we believe that he did it for us, then what? I give unto them eternal life, and when shall we perish?
Never.
We'll never perish. Now, do we as believers, after we come to faith in Christ, do we sin? Yes. Because we're not yet in our glorified bodies. And as a consequence, Jesus pointed that out. But their sins and iniquities will I remember against them when?
No more.
That's why, you know, the church, as well as the Jews, looked at the teachings. You know, the Jews, of course, rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. The church looks at the Lord Jesus Christ. They will even speak of him as God and so forth. But they see him as showing us how we have to live in order to be accepted of God. And we can't possibly live that way. He fulfilled the law. Then he paid the ransom for sin, because without the what? Shedding of blood is no remission. So on the cross of Calvary, he shed his blood, bowed his head, dismissed his spirit, was placed in the grave for 3 days and three nights. 3 times 24. 24 days, hours in a day. So he was there all of Wednesday night, all of Wednesday day. All of Thursday night, all of Thursday day. What do you say? Thursday day is after Thursday night? Yeah, in the Jewish calendar. The Jews begin the day at sunset. Yeah, the sunset, and at dawn you have the first day of the week. If you look at the account in the Gospels, we never get to the first day of the week by the Jewish reckoning of time, because when the women came to the tomb, it was still dark. But if we look at it according to what I've taught you in the past, how he was crucified on Wednesday, placed in the tomb at the beginning of Jewish Thursday, which was in that year the Passover or the 15th day of the month. Yeah. So he was placed in the tomb at the beginning of the 15th, was there the night of the 15th, the day of the 15th, the night of the 16th, the day of the 16th, the night of the 17th, the day of the 17th. And he rose from the dead on Sunday, which is right at sunset, because the Jews begin their day at sunset. So when they get... the women came to the tomb. We don't have to wait for that sunrise to get to the third day. it was fulfilled at the end of Friday, beginning of Saturday, and Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed. It all fits together perfectly, but it takes a little doing to see how it does. That's our husband prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for your marvelous love and goodness to us, and how that Christ in his life fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, and Christ in his life said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the earth. And so, in fact, he was there 72 hours, just as Jonah was. And we just praise you and thank you for the complete fulfillment of the law in the person and work of Jesus Christ, so that when God looks at us, he looks through the blood and sees us cleansed from all sin. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.